Galatians 3:28. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus.
In the history of the world, has there ever been a time of greater polarization politically, culturally, racially, religious? Maybe not. That's what some of the pundits are saying now, that never before has there been this much polarization. But when world history is studied, it is usually a story about us against them, right? I remember my history courses in junior high and high school. You know, that was back before, well, we had writing, but just barely. And it was always a story. All we had to do to pass the test was memorize the name of all the battles. And that was generally what history was. It was about battles more than people back then. I hope the study and the teaching of history has grown. This morning's scripture is in the context of just such a division, a polarization in the earliest church. Consider that Paul wrote this probably sometime between 48 and 55. The church was splitting. The church was splitting. And it was splitting over whether or not the rituals of Judaism were mandatory in the early church of Christ. Judaizers versus Hellenists, as they were called. Gentile versus Jew in the early church. Listen to this, even from the mouth of Jesus. In Matthew, I'm reading from Matthew 15, 21 and following. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman, read that foreign, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and cried, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon." He did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying after us." He answered her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." Wow. Even Jesus at this point in his ministry was harboring this notion of us against them, that he was sent only to the children of Israel. It took a poor Canaanite woman to set him straight. The church has been struggling with this notion ever since about us and them, both within the church universal and between the church and the world, have we not? Yeah, I broke into a Sunday school class this morning and held them hostage for a few minutes while I lectured them. I feel really bad about that. I apologize, but it wasn't enough. I'm sure they had a perfectly good lesson to learn in Sunday school, but I couldn't help myself. And it was about this notion. The church has been struggling with this notion of us against them ever since. Do you realize that there are over 300 registered Protestant denominations in the United States? We are all one in Christ, Paul told the church at Galatia. Now, Paul was on the side of those who would have been called Hellenists at this point. But you remember who Paul was before he was Paul. He was Saul, and he was a Pharisee. He was the most strict Jew on the planet. He even probably held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. And he completely changed. His Damascus Road experience changed him forever. And he became assured that it wasn't just to the children of Israel, but to all for whom Jesus came. We are all one in Christ. However, even those words, think about it. There are two ways to interpret these words, aren't there? Think about it. If you are in Christ, you are with us. And we are all one. Do you get it? In that instance, only Christians belong to the We Are All One club. Okay? Is there perhaps another way to understand those words? They could be understood in a different sense. That those of us who are Christian have broken down the barriers that separate us from everyone. That being Christian breaks down those doors. For God so loved the world, God was in Christ reconciling the world. So, being Christian doesn't separate you from everyone else. Being Christian gives you the vision to invite everyone else into your world. Not necessarily to baptize or to change their faith, but to be a part of your world. That, I believe, is what Christ came to mean. In this interpretation, being Christian means embracing the world. Now, it doesn't mean embracing evil, does it not? There is evil in this world, and we are to combat evil. 2 weeks ago, I asked all of you to think about something really new we can do. Being the new year, I thought something new is in order. A new ministry that we could begin perhaps in this year. And the very next day I got a text message, and I do have permission to out her on this text message. I got a text message from Gina Ford. I shared that message with you in the last newsletter. And it was, I can't think of a better way to live out this letter of Paul to the Galatians. We are all one. Gina had the idea of us becoming a diversity center here, in which we celebrate the celebrations of all of those sisters and brothers who are around us. I'm not sure how we're going to do that just yet. But let's make a start. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day celebration. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in 1968 at the age of 39. He came upon a new way to protest the injustice to his people and all people who were oppressed. Except that it wasn't a new way. It was the way of nonviolence. And so he literally began all of those sit-ins and all of that nonviolent protest that sooner or later was to give impetus to all of the civil rights legislation, all of the programs that would be begun. A nonviolent confrontation of injustice. We all who were alive at that point remember his "I Have a Dream" speech. He went to Washington, and that speech was the trumpet call for change in America. "I have a dream," he said, that one day on the red hills of Georgia that the sons and daughters of former slaves can sit down at the table with sons and daughters of former slaveholders. There is still much work to be done in this country. When two young men can be arrested in Starbucks for being black. Most of you have heard that story. Two young men waiting for a business appointment in Starbucks, and they were looked at suspiciously by the manager who dialed 911. And next we see the two young men being escorted out of Starbucks. But at least they got away with their lives. Too often that has not been the case. There is still much work to be done. America is such a beautiful patchwork quilt. We are a patchwork quilt of different cultures, races, gender identities, cultures that we must get it right. We are all one. And the church, I believe, must stand in the forefront of this monumental task. So how do we do that as church? How do we do that? First of all, I believe we need to repent. I'm not sure there's been enough repentance going on around here. But we really do. And repent doesn't mean just to get on your knees and cry and say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I promise." The word literally means to change directions. We must realize when we have been guilty of prejudice in one form or another and truly, truly repent. Secondly, we must learn about each other. I've told you about that crazy fellowship dinner we had at Taylor Lake several years ago, or I think I have. If I haven't, feel free to stop me at any time. But remember, we had the notion, and this was when it was a tough time in terms of Islamic fundamentalists and all that was going on in the Middle East and Afghanistan, and the war was still raging. And we decided, let's have a fellowship dinner and invite the Clear Lake Islamic Society and the Temple Beth Tikva, which was the Reformed Jewish temple. Let's have a fellowship dinner for everybody. And one member said, "That is the craziest thing I have ever heard in my life." I said, "Yeah, but it'll be fun." And we did it. And that evening was never to be forgotten. When you had a young man in a yarmulke helping another young man in a full beard and truly a beautiful Islamic look. He looked like a star in a movie from the Middle East. He was dressed really well. And these two young men on opposite sides of every kind of fence there is helped each other put the tables up. It was just a beautiful evening. We need to do that. Not necessarily the fellowship dinner, but that's not a bad idea. But we need to be in contact with those in our community who think differently, who worship differently, who identify differently than we do, and seek to both understand them and befriend them. And then third, we need to celebrate our own uniqueness and at the same time affirm the differences in our sisters and brothers. Now that, if you're a cowboy redneck in boots and a hat, driving a pickup with a gun rack in the back, be the best cowboy redneck that you can be. If you're a young black man in dreads who only listens to hip hop, be the best young black man in dreads you can be and befriend the next cowboy redneck that you see on the street. That's the way we're going to break this. And then finally, just pass it on. Pass it on. For you are neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen.